Turn in your scriptures now to the first book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we are reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through 27. Beloved, hear now the words of the living and true God. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it, who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. But I have used none of these things. And I'm not writing these things so that it will be done so in my case, for it would be better for me to die than have any man make my boast an empty one. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became a Jew, as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And thus far in God's holy word. The Corinthians, you can tell by how Paul in the first few verses is defending his apostleship that they have questioned whether he was an apostle. We'll see more of that later in 2 Corinthians, I believe. And he defends himself. He defends himself and his ministry to the Corinthian church here. Remember when the hard truths that preachers bring, like Paul brought forth to a people, when they see their sin, they will likely be tempted, and they may succumb to that temptation, to attack the man who brought the message rather than dealing with their sin. And that's what Paul's defending against here. And he tells them that they are the evidence of his being an apostle. They have come to faith through the message that he has brought. And since he's a minister of the gospel, preaching and teaching the word, he asks, do we, speaking of him and Barnabas and the apostles, do we not have a right to eat and drink? Don't we have a right to be married and provided for? There's a good verse to use against papists who think priests can't be married. Don't we have a right to be married and provided for? The verse that's often quoted about not muzzling the ox while he treads grain. Verse 11, Paul uses it to parallel the ministry of the word to that verse. Those who labor, especially in preaching and teaching. And just like when the ox is treading the grain, you don't muzzle it, you don't stop it, you don't hinder their way, their work. So for a minister of the gospel, in the same way, as they preach and teach the word, they sow spiritual things among you. You, beloved, are not to hinder them in that work. That great work. That is, you are to, the Lord says, provide materially for them. They are feeding you spiritual things, spiritual life. Is it too much then to ask that you provide physically for them, physical things to them? Paul then says we haven't put that obstacle of that right of providing for your minister in your way to hinder you from coming and believing the gospel. We've not used our right, and yet now that you have believed, he says, just be aware that here's the law. Here's what God commands. He says, just as those who served in the temple were provided for by God's people. And you think of last Lord's Day in Nehemiah, it was talked about. So verse 14, the Lord directed those who proclaimed the gospel to get their living from the gospel. That they could focus their lives on that and not worry about the material things. And so they should be supplied with the proper necessities of life. And yet he did not make use of the rights that God has given so that no one could say that he preferred his wages over his work of the gospel. What is absolutely necessary in Paul's life to focus on was to preach. That is what is to be the focus of the pastor today and the elders. But thinking of this in the Corinthians' eyes, and the church's eyes, what is absolutely necessary in your life if you sit under the preaching and teaching of the word is that as you receive the gospel, you should work so that the one who does so, the gospel among you, are provided for just as you are provided spiritually for. And then through verse 23, then Paul gives some more specifics of where he has rights and yet he's given them up and denied those rights for the sake of the gospel, that some may be saved for the good of the church. But then Paul ends chapter 9, the motivation behind his seeking rather the salvation of your souls over the provision. And we can be reminded by simply reading the text again in verse 24 to the end. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath. But we, as a church, an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And so what Paul is saying is that his aim at the preaching of the gospel and that some may be saved is all towards an eternal reception of an incorruptible crown. And so he's saying this in the first person plural, you see. He says, he commands it, actually, second person plural, run in such a way that you may win, church, Corinthians. And so you look at verse 23, I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. And that is our calling today, to do all things for the sake of the gospel. So, beloved, Paul was an apostle, and before you, you are reminded that the ones who sow spiritually among you ought to be provided for materially. And your goal in life is what? I do all things for the sake of the gospel. And yet for myself as a minister and other ministers, the preaching of the gospel and salvation is to have a greater hold over us than any longing for material things. For provision. That is our call today. Let's pray to God. Our Father, what a high calling this is that we come to in this chapter, and the Lord working through your servant Paul. Thank you for your word. We praise you for giving it to us, and we ask that you would continue. We thank you for the faithfulness of those who have followed in these commands and provided richly for their ministers. Father, and yet we do pray that maybe there may be some here today who are struggling with this. We ask that you would help them, enable them by your Spirit to be convicted that they ought to be doing all things for the sake of the gospel, even the providing for the ones who provide for them spiritually. And yet, Father, we also pray for myself and ministers that we would not long for material provisions in this life, but we would long so much more for the preaching of the gospel, and that we would be faithful in doing it. Lord, send your Spirit that we would be faithful. Above all things, Father, we praise you because you have given your church apostles like Paul and those in that first century AD. And we thank you for that, for the word that you gave through them by the leading of your Spirit, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1. You carried them along. And yet today there are no apostles. And yet we hang today upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, upon your word alone. We have that great principle, sola scriptura, where the sole authority over all things is your word. Because it is your word, and you have authority over all things. And so, Father, this day we ask that you would cause us to receive your word, knowing that it comes with full authority from God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, who spoke creation into existence through his word. And Father, we ask that your Son would be exalted today as we continue in our worship. That you'd watch over us and protect us from temptation, even in this place. Temptation, the things outside of our employments and things that are going on in our lives that we ought not to be focusing on in this moment. For we ought to be focusing in on the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially the resurrection, and life, and the gladness and joy and rejoicing that we have because of Christ and his grace to all those who believe. And yet for those who have not believed, who have rejected you, turn their hearts this day unto you. For you are their only hope. For salvation. For you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through you, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this day as we're commanded for our governments, our kings and rulers in authority over us. Lord, save them. Cause them to rule according to your word. And yet those who are not appointed for eternal life and therefore will not believe, we ask that you would, as you have ordained them to be in the place where they are, we ask that you would cause them to rule for the peace of your people, that we would be free to worship you even in a day which is hostile to the gospel, in a world that is hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the church, and therefore us. Cause us to persevere, even in the face of persecution and suffering, for we pray these things in Jesus' name, our strength. Amen.